Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
The state of America's Union, as I see it, it's not going to be very pleasant, I must tell you. I believe that there's a suicide train and that a goodly portion of our leadership are on this train high-fiving each other. I believe that this country is on a suicide train and that most of us don't even know that it's about to go over a cliff. What am I talking about? Is this doom and gloom simply for ratings or is it real? How much can you trust Michael Savage to give you what he sees the truth to be? Or is it all hype of the right wing in order to excite the masses and to pillory various segments of the country? Today, we're going to talk about the infestation of our government with jihadist moles. Today, we're going to talk about the infestation of the United States of America at the highest level with front groups of the Muslim Brotherhood who wish to take over the United States of America. Today, we're going to talk about the fact that not only is the United States of America, in my opinion, but the entire West on a suicide train. Let me show you what I mean by that. Let's start with Israel. Israel is the canary inside the cave of the West. Israel is the canary inside the miner's cave of the West. And as you well know, if you know what I'm talking about, in the old days, when they didn't have technological detectors of leaking gas, they put canaries down in the coal mine shafts. And if the canary died, they knew the workers shouldn't go in there because the canary died from leaking but odorless gas. Israel is that canary inside the cave. And a report came out just recently that although the Israel Defense Forces chief and the intelligence service known as Shin Bet, their secret service, objected to it, the suicidal maniac, Ehud Olmert, has approved arming Palestinian West Bank forces with 50 Russian APCs, 1,000 rifles, and 2 million bullets. Now, I'm trying to tell you something here, that if the canary within the cave of the West, meaning Israel, is being led by a suicidal maniac named Olmert, are we far behind? Well, let's see if we're far behind. Let's see what's going on here. Article came out today that this questionable front group, CAIR, has secretly lobbied with John Conyers to change their designation as a co-conspirator in a terrorism case. Now, a 1991 internal memorandum from the Radical Muslim Brotherhood identified 29 terrorist front groups, including the Islamic Society of North America, that are all part of a covert program by the Brotherhood in the United States to subvert American society. Listed amongst them is the Council on American-Islamic Relations, CAIR, which is seeking help from the House Judiciary Committee on the chairman, if you can believe it, John Conyers Jr., to pressure the Justice Department to change the group status as a co-conspirator in a terrorism case. What is going on here is frightening. It is very frightening indeed to believe that we have traitors at the highest level of this government. CAIR recently petitioned U.S. District Court Chief Judge Joe Fish in a friend of the court motion to remove it from the listing, saying it caused a decline in its membership and fundraising. After the mistrial, Judge Fish forwarded Carr's request to U.S. Judge Jorge A. Solis, who has not yet issued a ruling. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Stephen Emerson, executive director of the Investigative Project on Terrorism, said the secret collaboration between CAIR and Conyers raises concerns over the lawmaker's support for a, quote, group unambiguously proven to be part of the Muslim Brotherhood Hamas infrastructure. He goes on, this combination demonstrates the degree to which radical Islamic groups have insinuated themselves into the highest reaches of the U.S. government by using the seat, close quote. Now, the reason we're focusing on this issue of CAIR, and we'll have Bill Gertz on the show, is because this questionable group, CAIR, is contacting all of my advertisers and all of my stations trying to drive me out of business. and I'm twisting in the wind all alone. Don't worry about me because I will survive. They're going to wind up in jail. I'm telling you that the day is going to come that this front group will either leave the country overnight, the leadership will, or they will be imprisoned. But right now, they got an axe, I believe. Do you think that there are more radical Islamists in this country who shop at JCPenney than there are conservatives who shop at JCPenney? Who are running these companies in the advertising division that they would cater to a group that is named as, you hear what they're named as? They're named as unindicted co-conspirators in a recent federal terrorism trial in Dallas into activities by the Holy Land Foundation, Inc. Did you hear what I said to you? Do you have any idea how dangerous the situation is? Is the government infested with jihadist moles? Can this country survive? I have in my hand a card I just received by Federal Express moments ago from an important American who will remain anonymous. It came to me from Washington, D.C., and I will respect the anonymity of the sender. Commentary to Michael Savage. Michael's personal exploits and reminiscences, though often brilliantly expounded, interest the ears of a smaller section of his listeners. Most of us want and need answers, do's and don'ts, for the slide of the nation is perilously imminent. Best to go into scripture, historical examples, and always the humor as the ballet and the bullet to a successful and complete rhythm of holding attention, which is obviously his talent. Michael's future brings to him a position that is higher than the one in which he now operates, your co-partner in the government, and I'm not going to read the name. There are others out there. I met them the other night at a private dinner I gave, but they're not running this country. They're not running the government. This government, so far as I can tell, is being run by lobbyists and investment bankers. It is not being run by people who actually have their eye on the ball, their hand on the wheel, and their knowledge of the danger we are in. At the same time this is going on, we have the suicidal, perverted maniacs, not only within San Francisco's government, which just granted identifications to illegal aliens which have no sexual identity on the card. They should be arrested. If we lived in a sane nation, the United States government would send federal marshals to San Francisco City Hall. All the supervisors who voted to give illegal aliens ID cards would be slapped in handcuffs, be pushed into police cars, and be arrested for sedition. But because we have no one at the helm, because George Bush is a fraud, there is no George Bush. George Bush is a fiction. You think that we have a president. I don't. You know, it has been said for years that the Queen of England is merely the figurehead of the British government. Figurehead. In that way, you might say the president is merely a figurehead. Well, if he is the figurehead, then who is the figure at the head of the government? Do you have an answer to that one? By what I can see, it is a very small group, which includes the leadership of Wall Street's investment banks, a few hedge fund manipulators, and of course the lobbyists who send tens of millions of dollars into the hands of the congressmen and senators. So what I can tell you at this time is all I have told you at this time. I can tell you no more. But when we have a group like the Council on American-Islamic Relations, CAIR, and we learn today in the Washington Times that they had secret meetings with John Conyers to pressure the Justice Department to change the group's status as a co-conspirator in a terrorism case. And we also learn in the same article that there was a 1991 internal memorandum from the Radical Muslim Brotherhood, which identified 29 front groups, which included CAIR, that are all part of a covert program by the Brotherhood in the United States to subvert American society. And they are permitted to operate in this country. And they are permitted to go after a native son like me, a patriot. Tells you an awful lot about the country. An awful lot about the country, if there is a country. I'm not so sure there is a country. My concept of borders, language, and culture, well, that's to me what defines a country. Country is defined by its borders virtually every country on earth knows it's defined by its borders, except George Bush and Hillary Clinton. They don't know that America is bound by its borders. In fact, President Bush told ABC's spokesmouth Charlie Gibson that he thinks Hillary Clinton will be the Democratic nominee. He's lobbying for Hillary Clinton. Listen to 16. Listen
to
16.
You have said you don't want to comment politically, but you did tell the book author that you thought Hillary Clinton would be the Democratic nominee.
I did. I got caught. I do. I think she's a very formidable candidate. And one of the interesting things that she brings is that she has been under pressure. She understands the Klieg lights. You know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
You are the Klieg light.
You are the Klieg light?
Heading into this stretch in the primaries and heading into the general election is really the difference between minor leagues and big leagues.
So, in other words, George Bush is now a cheerleader for Hillary Clinton. And you thought when you elected George Bush 7 years ago or so that he offered a difference from the Clinton machine. It's gotten worse, hasn't it? Well, there it is. I mean, I could give you a Thanksgiving story, and I will. Trust me, I will. And I will do that for you on the show today. But if you ask me to give you a State of the Union, I've sort of given you a State of the Union, which is there is no union, and there is no state. It's a loose confederation of financial interests ruling this country. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back to America's favorite raconteur, an expert on sex, love, children, politics, philosophy, food, the future, income tax, fashion, operas, soap operas, world affairs, medicine, statistics, music, dogs, religion, real estate, wine, the family, television, recipes, psychiatry, rumors, tradition, books, art, expert in everything except baseball, football, basketball, and golf. I do not claim any expertise. There are those in talk radio who have such expertise, and they have far larger audiences. So apparently there's a large audience for the Natalie Holloway story, the Murdoch crowd, mainly Scarface, and those who follow Scarface have given up worrying about the war against Islamic fascism and their moles within this government. Instead, they are dealing with a very minor story of a girl who went missing in Aruba. After partying all night with a group of men, she disappeared. I'm not saying she got what she deserved, but she disappeared. She went partying with some local boys and disappeared. It happens an awful lot in this world. Girls from various and sundry places go to the islands and go native and go wild and disappear. I mean, the killer should be caught and punished, but I've heard quite enough about it. I mean, I'm not interested in it at all. Herb, there's an herbal story. Milk thistle, a compound from the milk thistle plant, may protect against liver cancer. I have it up on michaelsavage.com. Don't call me about it. It's a flavonone compound in milk thistle called silibinin or silibinin, depending on whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, may stop the growth and spread of liver cancer. Now, I wrote about this herb 25 years ago. This is only an in vitro study using human live liver cancer cells exposed to different doses of silibinin. And they found that the milk thistle compound could inhibit the spread of the cells and promote programmed cell death. That means cell death of the cancer cells. You hear this? Published in a major journal, World Journal of Gastroenterology. Milk thistle compound may protect against liver cancer. Read about it and discuss it with, well, I would say your doctor, but they know nothing about herbal extracts. They know how to burn, cut, and poison. They're very good at that. But I suggest you look into this because there may be some promising discoveries right around the corner coming from very ancient cures, so to speak. Oh, I knew about milk thistle a long time ago in terms of liver repair. Oh, now that's pure rubbish. Go to a good, honest pharmaceutical. That's what we need. More and more pharmaceuticals. Don't use that herbal stuff. So we have that story. We have the fact that Olmert, the suicidal maniac who now runs Israel, has said drop dead to his military chiefs, to his spy chiefs, and he has agreed to give the Palestinians in the West Bank 50 Russian APCs, that's armored personnel carriers, ladies and gentlemen, 1,000 rifles and 2 million bullets. Now, let me remind you of something else. Back in 1993, Bill Clinton approved giving, I think it was 20,000 of our weapons to the Palestinians. 20,000 guns were given to the Palestinians. 20,000. At the time, I had a young son at the time who said Bill Clinton's insane. The Palestinians are going to use these guns to kill Jews. Well, guess what? The Palestinians have used these guns to kill Jews. But apparently, they can always find a Quisling to run Israel, because now we have another Quisling running Israel. Now, I really have no dog to chase, as they say, whatever the American phrase may be. No, I have no dog in this hunt. I am fed up with the whole Middle East. I'm sick of it. I am sick of it. I can't take it anymore. I know if I had a choice as to where I'd rather land without a passport, I've told you, would you rather choose to land in Israel without a passport, Syria, Lebanon, the West Bank, Gaza, Egypt, or any of the other countries? That's the only question to ask yourself. Every time I throw that in the leftist faces, they go, suddenly they have no answers, these big mouths with the little bracelets on their right hand, the perv bracelets, the little leather perv bracelets, to show that they lay down with each other, with anything that moves. All right, the pervs don't know what to say, but they start to spatter. So I know that. But having said that, I really don't care anymore. I'm fed up with it. If a country is that suicidal, c'est la vie. That's it. C'est la vie. If it wants to die and commit suicide, what do you want from me? I care about America right now. America first, last, and always.
Savage.
We are losing our identity as a nation, as you well know, what with the attacks in Seattle on Thanksgiving, what with the infiltration of the CIA and FBI by illegal aliens, Muslim women from Lebanon, with the front groups such as planted here by the Muslim Brotherhood, including CAIR, according to the Washington Times article. We are losing our national identity, and the front men who run the country, the front men and women who run the country for the moneyed interests, either don't know or don't care. I really don't know the answer. But right now we have someone who may know some of these answers, and she is Audrey Hudson from the Washington Times newspaper. Audrey, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael.
So this article came out today by Bill Gertz, and it says you contributed to the report, CAIR seeks removal of label in terrorism case. What's this about?
That's correct. My good colleague Bill Gertz obtained a letter that CARE had written to John Conyers, who is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. Well, you laid the whole thing out earlier in the show. But essentially, they're lobbying a lawmaker to put pressure on the Justice Department to get them off the list of unindicted co-conspirators as it related to the Holy Land Foundation case.
All right, so Conyers is a representative from their district, is he not?
He actually is from Michigan, which has, he does have a lot of a huge Muslim base in his district, but the CARE obviously is out here in Washington, but they do have a branch office in Michigan.
Now, John Conyers is a longtime anti-American type. He has complained bitterly about America and many of its activities for as long as I can remember. Isn't he now the chairman of the Judiciary Committee?
Yeah, that's why this story is so important, is because he wields a lot of power in Washington. He is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. And, you know, Michael, I was a staffer on Capitol Hill for many years on both the House and the Senate side. And asking a lawmaker to get involved in pending litigation was just a standard no-no. No lawmaker would dare touch that.
And okay, so this is the part I didn't understand. In other words, he is chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. So they have no right to lobby him on a case like this? I mean, it's sort of like off the beam here, or what?
I've just not heard of a group pressuring a congressman to pressure the Justice Department to basically back away and not look into them or their activities at all. I've been here 15 years. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, tell us about CAIR. They are targeting any talk show host in the country who dares raise questions about their validity and what their intent really is. I'm number one on their list, but you say in your article that a 1991 internal memorandum from the Radical Muslim Brotherhood identified 29 front groups that are part of a covert program by the Brotherhood in the United States to subvert American society. Do those 29 groups include CAIR?
They do, Michael. That came out in the Holy Land Foundation case. That's where this came out, and as I recall, part of the documents that the jury got to see included a check from the ISNA to CARE for seed money for a startup.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
So this group, this group still follows the initial charter of 1991 to subvert American society?
I think that the evidence that was shown in the Holy Land Foundation case indicated that CARE was set up to be the PR arm. In other words, the public relations arm out there to get the message out. And so far, it looks to me like CARE, their job is to put out a press release every single day and champion themselves and slander or libel anyone that says anything slightly negative. And you have been the target for
Americans. A company called Go to My PC, or terrorists in Pakistan who would use Go to My PC, then they're on that product by the thousands. I don't understand who run these companies. Why don't they know who CAIR is?
Well, you know what's funny is a few months ago, I did a report that you talked about on the show. I got their IRS forms and showed that their membership had dropped from like 28,000 to less than 2,000. I think it was 1,700. And they responded by attacking me. They put out a press release and said, you know, show your support by CARE by canceling the Washington Times and joining CARE. You know, they used it as a fundraiser to increase their membership.
And saying there are only 1,700 members of this group?
Yeah, and when they used that...
Oh, wait a minute. Then why would a company of the or one of these office companies, why would they listen to them?
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, I don't know either. But, I mean, I have advertisers who have doubled the amount of time they're spending on this show. I'm getting flooded with letters from people who say, for example, I've never bought Swiss America's gold. I'm going to buy it now because he's been with you from the beginning. I'm picking one advertiser out of many. I've got a lot of people who have decided to put their money where their mouth is now. This is backfiring on Carr, but I'm not concerned about me. Listen to me. I'll survive on this show one way or the other. If I have to, I'll underwrite the show myself. Trust me on that. I will be on the air no matter what they may do to the cowards in these corporations. I am concerned about a government that will capitulate to a front group for the Radical Muslim Brotherhood. And I think we all ought to be concerned about it, Audrey.
You are right. And you will survive. We did. As a matter of fact, their membership got so bad that that's why they filed this in the court case in the Holy Land Foundation 4 months after I said their membership had suffered. They go and file this brief saying, take us off this list of unindicted co-conspirators because our numbers are dwindling. And then they cited my article as proof.
So their numbers dwindled to 1,700 people, the CAIR, and yet advertisers think that they represent all the Muslims in America?
Apparently, but they think that, but then obviously it's going to hold true in your case, as in our case, that you're going to get more advertising, not less. I mean, boo hoo, who leaves you?
They're going to regret it when my listeners start canceling their products, and I'm going to go on the assault on Monday. I'm going to actually spell out who these companies are and who to contact. I'm going to do it on Monday because I'm not going to sit here passively and let these scoundrels do this to me. It's not in my nature. Plus, I'm right and they're wrong. And so we'll now go back to you. So they went after you when you dared say the truth. So let me ask you another question here that you may have an answer to. Bill will be on the show as well because we'll get a different perspective from him. John Conyers, what's his problem? Why does he hate this country so much or appear to hate the country so much? Why is he always bellyaching about America? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say. Okay, then let's drop John Conyers. John Conyers has for years been on the outside coming up with some of the most crackpot statements and theories I've ever heard. How did he wind up as chairman of the House Judiciary Committee? How did the Democrats do this? And why would they do this?
Seniority.
Seniority. So that's like putting Murtha. That's like putting Murtha as the head of, at the head of the Defense Appropriations Committee, and he turns out to be the biggest recipient of pork barrel spending in the country?
Well, that, in Murtha's case, yes. I know a lot more about Murtha.
Well, let's talk about Murtha then for a minute. Here's a man who called our soldiers in Haditha mass murderers as a result of information fed to him by the enemy themselves after a firefight, which is just heartbreaking, and Colonel Chassani is the only one left standing in line there. You saw what happened yesterday. Murtha was required to testify in this trial. He was forced to go to trial. Do you know that the Justice Department is defending Murtha? Are you aware of that?
I am aware that Murtha has still not apologized.
No, Murtha is being defended by George Bush's Justice Department, who is trying to have the case thrown out where Murtha will not have to testify. This goes all the way up to George Bush, Audrey. The president is backing Murtha, not the U.S. Marines. Well, I'm sorry. I'm dragging you into my perspective, and I know you don't want to say anything. You're a careful journalist, unlike me, a volatile talk show host. Tell me about this. CAIR recently petitioned U.S. District Court Chief Judge A. Joe Fish in a friend of the court motion to remove it from the listing, saying it caused a decline in membership and fundraising. What's that about?
Okay, yeah, that was the amicus brief they filed in August after claiming that my story is false, that their membership had not dwindled. Then they filed this friend of the court brief saying our membership has dwindled because they've named this as an unindicted co-conspirator. Well, the judge didn't make a determination on it. From what I was hearing is that he was going to wait and see how the jury decided in the Holy Land Foundation case and then take a look at it. And, of course, as we know, the whole case just fell apart. It was totally kicked out. The jurors were confused. It was a mistrial. Now they've handed it over to another judge, and now he will consider somewhere down the road whether or not CAIR stays on the list of unindicted co-conspirators. And there's about 200 to 300 Muslim organizations on this list.
Hold it. 200 to 300 Muslim organizations that are unindicted co-conspirators in the Holy Land Foundation trial. It's now sitting in the hands of one American named Judge Jorge A. Solis. Now, I'm going to hold my breath. Please tell me he was not appointed by the Clintons.
You know what? I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
Maybe he was appointed by Sandy Berger. Maybe Sandy Berger appointed Jorge A. Solis or recommended him. We really don't know. We'll have to look into that. Carr's letter to Conyers said that, quote, you remember many of these abusive practices from the McCarthy era and the civil rights movement. So they're hiding behind this racket of the civil rights racket now, that they're just innocent little victims? Let me ask you this. The imam case, the flying imam case, got a slap in the face today, or yesterday, or the day before, where that case is permitted to go forward. Some rotten, stinking judge has said that the imams were damaged after a passenger raised suspicions about their pre-flight behavior. What is going on? Don't these judges know what's going on?
I know what this judge did, and I actually went beyond CAIR's press release and read her decision because CAIR didn't quite explain what she had decided. It was a preliminary motion to dismiss that the airline had filed, which the judge never approves those. They wanted to go to trial. They're not going to dismiss it before it gets a hearing. So, but what she did do was significant. She threw out two claims by the imams. One was their claim for emotional distress. She threw that out.
Oh, poor babies, emotional distress.
Threw that out. She also threw out a claim under the American Disabilities Act, another discrimination claim.
Oh my God, they tried every racket in the world created by the liberals in this legal system of ours. So she threw them out, to her credit. And the judges, U.S. District Judge Ann Montgomery, rejected almost all of the defendants' arguments for dismissal. But here's what I'm looking at it now. The imams have argued that they were removed because of religious and ethnic bias. The airline says they were rejected solely because of security concerns raised by passengers and crew members. Now, why would crew members single out Muslims unless there was something suspicious going on? Hello, three had one-way tickets, no checked baggage. Most had requested seatbelt extensions, even though they were thin. A passenger had reported that they were praying very loudly before the flight and criticized U.S. involvement with Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein. They were seated widely throughout the aircraft. It seems to me that the pilots had a reasonable suspicion about these creeps.
That's what the airline has said all along, and that's what they told me today. They still stand behind their flight crew. They are not going to settle. If they want to take them onto court, they're willing to go into the courtroom and fight them. And that's
police boarded the plane and asked the so-called imams to exit the plane. Look, the enemy within is very deeply entrenched in this country. I don't think the judges have any idea the danger they're putting us in by even catering to these types of cases, Audrey. We'll have to watch that one carefully. I know that the flying imam case is a big one. If they win, the country is really going to be in really sad shape, because I would say after that, a person could get up with a box cutter and start to try to break down the cabin door, and nobody would dare touch him for fear of a lawsuit. Don't the judges know that, Audrey?
One would hope so.
A deep breath, a thoughtful deep breath. Okay, Audrey Hudson, Washington Times, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
It is 48 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The identity of the America that you know is right now hanging in a balance like a loose tooth. As a result of suicidal immigration policies and decades of multicultural lies and indifference, the identity of America is now almost impossible to define. What about American history and culture as part of the history of Western civilization? Why do so many Muslims spit at it? Why do so many immigrants from Mexico wave Mexican flags at sporting events? Why is our system unraveling today? Why do liberals continue on the suicidal path? Which of the conservative candidates will even address the fact that our multiculturalism is destroying us? Which one of them even understands what American identity is? Why don't you ask the great Rudy Soapbox Giuliani and Mitt Mantan Romney to identify what America is? Ask them to define what borders, language, and culture means to him. That's what I would ask him, which is why they won't come on the show. We the people have a choice right now. You want to talk about our identity and say it's Thanksgiving turkey? It's Thanksgiving turkey? Is that all it is? Is Thanksgiving turkey? How about the men who died at Iwo Jima? How about the men who fought in the Revolutionary War? How about the man who fought in Vietnam? How about the men who are fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan right now? They're a big part of American identity. Ask Romney and Giuliani what they think about that. Ask them about that. We keep hearing about America as a new place, and we can't define what an American is anymore. And we have this national soul-searching about what it means to be an American in an age of a messed-up immigration policy. Does a typical American person exist anymore? What is an American person? What are traditional values? And why are our traditional values being roiled by a rise in immigrants who hate this country and want to change not only our national identity, but our national laws to a set of religious laws? Where are the leftists who say there should be a separation of church and state and yet have nothing to say when we see radicals in the Islamic community saying they want to impose Sharia law? You never hear a word from the leftists on that, do you? 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Do you think that our tradition of multiculturalism and tolerance for the intolerant is providing a dangerous breeding ground for radicalism? I do. What do you think about it? What is it going to take for you to understand that you can only tolerate so much? And beyond that, that kind of tolerance doesn't border on insanity. It is insanity itself. So, this is my Thanksgiving show. I'm giving you what I have to give you for the Thanksgiving show. We have to reverse our course on multiculturalism. We have to pass laws that emphasize integration over cultural tolerance. We must force foreigners to take citizenship courses and to learn English. Damn it! I don't want to press one for English. They better learn English or get out of my country. I want... What do I want? I want my country back. I want the Quislings in the government thrown out, some of them arrested for robbing us blind. Who are they? Just take a look at the pork barrel spending. Go from the top of the list to the bottom. Whoever got the most money should be at the top of the list of questionable individuals. Whoever took the least money into their districts is probably the most honest in Congress. Simple as that. So do we need more multiculturalism in America to make us look more like, let us say, Saudi Arabia, more like Africa perhaps, or perhaps more like China? Will that be a better America if it looks more like Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Africa, and China? Or will it be an America that is dangerous because it has no center and a country without a center cannot hold? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Now, I believe in live and let live, and I believe in integration, I believe in immigration, but I don't believe in permitting terrorists to enter a country and then to start screaming through the law courts and through corrupt, degenerate lawyers to try and change the country, and then, of course, subject the country to the religious laws that they fled in their homeland. It's as simple as that. How do we stop this? I'll let you decide. Have a nice turkey. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
A difference a day made. 24 little hours. What the sun and the flowers.
It is the Savage Nation, Dinah Washington, What a Difference a Day Makes.
Where there used to be rain. My yesterday was blue, dear. Today I'm a part of you, dear.
Well, I'm a part of the Savage Nation. I hope you're a part of me. Welcome to the program. This hour is dedicated to our fighting men in Iraq and Afghanistan. Dedicated to our fighting men in Iraq and Afghanistan who cannot be with us and their families on this Thanksgiving Day tomorrow, which I'm sure they'd like to. I'm sure they'd like to be there. Let's not forget that many of them are out on patrol, and some of them won't come back. Try to tell that to the scum of the earth who go on television shows with the little sex bracelets on their little right wrists there to show you how wild and free they are. I'd like to. I have a book in my hand that I received today from a new friend. I told you I put on a little dinner the other night. I didn't know the men who were coming. They were invited by another friend. And I was pleasantly surprised to meet a wonderful man who wrote a book called Full Circle by William L. Buchanan, a Marine rifle company in Vietnam. Bill was a captain in the United States Marines in Vietnam. Very quiet, nice man. I mean, see, what I found out about life the longer I've lived is that the real heroes don't look like real heroes. You're used to the movie heroes, the fakes, like who's the guy who played, who's the guy with the machine gun, the M60, who was actually at a girls' school during the Vietnam War? Rocky, Stallone. He's a good actor. In other words, the John Wayne type. I'm not knocking them as people, but heroes don't actually look that way. Heroes look like average guys in large part. You don't know who you are until you are tested. And the reason I'm telling you about this book is because I started to read it today, and I found a quote in this book, Full Circle, by William L. Buchanan. By the way, it's published by Bay Laurel Press, Mill Valley, California. I say it not because I want to make any money from it. I hope he does, because he's giving a certain percentage away to a U.S. Marine fund as well. I want to read you one of the quotes, and it was from a Greek soldier to his wife during the Peloponnesian Wars, circa 500 B.C. Listen to what I'm saying to you. This was a letter from a Greek soldier to his wife during the Peloponnesian Wars, circa 500 B.C. My darling, this war is tiresome and dull. The enemy attacks us in small groups, then melts into the darkness or the countryside. Rarely can we bring our superior weapons to bear. Our captain does his best, but our food is always bad and water not at all plentiful. We march long hours in the dust and sun, only to learn the enemy has eluded us once again. 3 years will be an eternity before I return to your loving arms. Again, 500 B.C., Peloponnesian Wars, Greek soldier to his wife. So some things change and some things don't change. That was probably more apt with regard to the Vietnam War than it is to this war. But we have men on mountaintops in Afghanistan who are fighting the same kind of war against small groups of Al-Qaeda, who then melt into the darkness of the countryside. They're living with very little. The special forces up on those mountaintops. And whether you can believe it or not, if we lose it over there, I'm telling you, they're going to come for us over here. They're here already. I mean, their troops are here already. They're fighting us now in the courts and in the newspapers. They're fighting us on a daily basis through the ACLU and the other rat bum scum leftists who I'd like to take and put into prison for what they're doing to my country. If I had the power, the ACLU wouldn't last 30 days. And every contributor to the ACLU would be investigated. But I have no power. I'm merely a talk show host, so pay no attention to me. Pay no attention to me. Listen instead to ABC, CBS, and NBC. Look how far they've gotten us. Look how far they've taken America. All of those organization men with the nice ties. After all, they know how to make a nice tie. They can't be stupid. I mean, if a man like Tom Brokaw can make a Windsor knot, he must know an awful lot. He has a nice smile, a nice countenance, speaks nicely, never gets excited, so therefore he must know what he's talking about. Well, look at Larry King, born at the time of Moses, still existent. Big show the other night. Doctor walked off the Larry King show. Try to tell Larry about Islamofascism, they'd like to throw him down a well. Garlic breath would probably belch out a flame from his nostrils, not knowing what he's living through. Has no idea, in my opinion. No idea whatsoever. Oh, God. Why do I have to do this for a living? I could disappear and never be heard from again. If I were a normal person, I would not be here today at this time on this show. You know, Wednesday before Thanksgiving, ever since college, used to always be my favorite day of the year. It's not anymore. No day is my favorite day. It's a 24/7 war for the survival of the United States of America. I'm in the trenches, my friends. You say, oh, he's exaggerating. Yeah, well, maybe he's exaggerating. Maybe he isn't. Maybe he is exaggerating. Maybe he isn't. Captain Buchanan sent me the book, and he wrote, "For Michael Savage, a warrior in his own right on the battlefield of ideas." Bill Buchanan, Mill Valley, November 20th. Bill, thank you. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to me, my friend. So here we are. Here we are. We're fighting the good fight. What was that old saying that the liberals used to tell us about in the 60s? For evil to triumph, it only requires that the good men do nothing. For evil to triumph, it only requires that a few good men do nothing. Are you those good men who will let the evil of CAIR triumph? Are you the evil that will let radical Islam triumph in this nation? I hope not. I sure hope not. I have no support right now, not Rush. Not Hannity, not O'Reilly. Now you say, well, they don't like you, you don't like them. What they don't understand is that when they came for Michael Savage, they did not raise their voice because they were in competition with Michael Savage. But if you let this radical Islamic front group pick me off, they're next. They don't have that vision. They're just pure into it for themselves, as far as I could tell. They do a good job, don't get me wrong. They're very good broadcasters, every one of those I just mentioned. I haven't had support from any of the websites. My good friends at Newsmax, WorldNet Daily, asleep at the switch. Why? Because everybody's out for themselves, and this is the problem with America today. This is the problem with America today. There is no conservative movement. Don't you understand that? Don't you understand there is no conservative leadership and there is no conservative movement? It's all a sham. None whatsoever. Okay, I'm going to take your calls. Let's start in Los Angeles from an Angelino, Mike, on 830 on the dial. Mike, welcome to the show.
Michael, it's an honor.
Thank you
for your hard work. Michael, in the Bible, there's a biblical term that's called a watchman. And you are truly our watchman. And, you know, you're our point man. Like on any war, you know, there's lots of battles that are fought, and somebody has to be on point. Somebody has to take, the lead.
Yes, but let me just say this, Mike. In every battle, in order to share the stress, the point rotates. Sometimes you're at point, and sometimes you're at the tail. Sometimes you're on the center. Sometimes you're on the side. If I have other guys in the media who are not taking point, they're not doing their job, you have to make the empty golf bags and the leprechauns of the world take point. I mean, it's one thing to go and showboat on the backs of the U.S. military by broadcasting from Iraq, but we know there's no danger in that. That's why I didn't go there. I've been asked to go to Iraq and broadcast from there. I won't do it. It's a disgrace to do that. And by putting on a flak jacket to pretend that you're a big hero, like Bill Clinton did when he went over to Bosnia after bombing the poor Serbs into the Stone Age and blowing up every bridge on the Danube. I mean, it's very easy to put on a jacket there and chow it up with the guys and then come back like you're a big hero. I didn't want to do that. I won't play that game.
That is why there's millions of us out here in America that love you, respect you.
All right, well, let me tell you what you can do. I'm not going to name those companies until next Monday. I'll name them again. I'm going to tell you how to dump them. And then I'm going to name the companies who advertise on this show who you should buy. And when you buy them, I want you to send them an email saying, I support you because you support Michael Savage. And that's what you can do. That's what I mean by fighting the good fight. Thank you. And I'll go into it more next week. Right now, let's just rejoice and enjoy ourselves. That's all. You know, the gentleman raised the point of the watchtower. And I've used an analogy on this show many times. Not All Along the Watchtower, which is a song I happen to love, it was written by Bob Dylan, wasn't it, All Along the Watchtower? Yeah, let's not play it right now. I don't want to get into that whole thing. I'll play it in a while. But I have said to you that years ago, 30 years ago, when I was in the health food movement, trying to enlighten America as to their choices in terms of medical self-medication, meaning using self methods, exercise, diet, stress management, not just pills, okay? Somebody said to me, Savage, you're a very passionate person. You are like Lynkeus, the pilot seer of the Argonauts. And I've used that analogy. Lynkeus, the pilot seer of the Argonauts, he was way up on top of the highest mast on the ship. And he said, turn to port, turn to port, turn to port. You're heading to the rocks. Turn to port. You're almost on the rocks. Well, that's good if you have a captain at the helm. But if you have a shill at the helm, the ship scrapes against the rocks, its guts get ripped open, and the ship takes on water. I'll be right back.
Savage.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth. None will level on the mine. Nobody up in this world.
How'd you like to be at a Jimi Hendrix concert in 1967 in Kula, Maui? Be nice to be there, wouldn't it, today? Instead of going to see a turkey tomorrow? The hippie age, the hippie age, the hippie age. Yippee, yippee, yippee. Yippee, yippee, hippie. Thanks, Jimmy. I will see him across the River Styx. I found it. It's Isaiah 13. Set ye up an ensign upon the high mountain. It's in the Bible, Isaiah. Set ye up an ensign upon the high mountain. But what was Isaiah talking about when he said, an ensign upon the high mountain? Lift up the voice unto them, wave the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. Well, what's he talking about? I have commanded my consecrated ones. Who are they? Yeah, I've called my mighty ones for mine anger, even my proudly exulting ones. A tumult in the mountains, like as of a great people. The uproar of the kingdoms, of the nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven. Even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole earth. For the day of the Lord is at hand. As destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Therefore shall all hands be slack, and every heart of man shall melt, and they shall be frightened. Pangs and throes shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman in travail. They shall look aghast at one another. Their faces shall be faces of flame. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel and full of wrath and fierce anger, to make the earth a desolation, and to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. You know, fire and brimstone has disappeared in America. In America, there used to be a church on virtually every corner in a town. Today, the churches have become AA and drug rehab centers. There's a little town here in the liberal Marin County, Barbara Boxer's backyard, which is interesting because there's a church about every, in this town. It used to be a very, very Catholic town. And there was a church, I don't know, every few streets. One church was knocked down. Another church is in Alcoholics Anonymous and Drugs Anonymous and Sex Anonymous. You look at the bulletin board and it says that there's a female pastor who has an alternative Christmas set up or alternative winter festival. So when a country loses its core of belief and no longer believes in a higher power, think of what happens. I'm not here to sell you on God. I really don't care what you personally do, but I want you to think about what I'm saying. And I'm no holy roller. I'm not better than you. I have no halo. Believe me. Just trust me on that one. But when a nation loses a belief in a supreme being, what happens to that nation? Look around you. That's what happens to a nation. People go on YouTube with sex videos of themselves and think that they're famous. What else happens in a nation? People get plastic surgery and become broadcasters and spend hour upon hour talking about crime and deceit and crime and rapes and crime and crime. And the media just talks about crime and rape and rape and crime and molestation and crime and rape. And what else happens when the churches are empty and the synagogues are empty and the people are going to AA meetings where they once prayed to God? What else happens? Look around you and you'll see what else happens. Look around you, you'll see what else happens. Everything you see around you is what happens when the churches are empty and the synagogues are empty and they're locked up and they're opened on Saturday morning and only a few old men go in there. What else happens? Look within your own house and you'll see what happens. Look within your own heart and see what happens. That's what happens. So I'm giving you my sermon, my Thanksgiving sermon. You'll have to forgive me for getting carried away. And here's a newspaper, USA Today, maybe the worst national newspaper ever conceived by a nation. I call it USA Away. Here's their lead story on Thanksgiving from these left-wing scum at USA Today. First Thanksgiving Myth Goes South by Craig Wilson, USA Today. One teacher chips away at the Plymouth Rock legend with a tale of a Spanish explorer who once shared bean soup with Tumucuia Indians. See the word Spanish was worked in there? Thanksgiving a myth? Craig, you know something? I don't know who you are, but whoever you are, you're nothing other than a man who hates the country who has given you so much. I don't know whether it was your mother who poisoned you or your father. I don't know whether it was the amniotic fluid itself that had been poisoned by drugs. But you yourself, if I said, should have shame. I know it has no meaning whatsoever because in this country there is no shame. Just look at the sex tube videos. There is no shame. Nothing. Zero. How do we come out of this mess? I don't know. Ask Jimi Hendrix. There must be some way out of here. There must be some way out of here. Up next, Bill Gertz, Washington Times, on the CAIR connection to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Savage.
We now go to Bill Gertz of the Washington Times, who's a great journalist. He wrote about CAIR, the so-called Council on American-Islamic Relations, and their secret meetings with House Judiciary Committee Chairman John Conyers to force the Justice Department to drop the group's status as a co-conspirator in a terrorism case. Bill Gertz, welcome to the Savage Nation. How are you today?
Hi, good to be with you, Michael.
In your article, Bill, you say that there's a 1991 internal memorandum from the Radical Muslim Brotherhood, which identified 29 front groups that are part of a covert program by the Brotherhood in the U.S. to subvert American society. Is CAIR on that list?
No, they're not, because I think that they really got going later on. But the Council on American-Islamic Relations is clearly a front group for the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas. I think that's what came out of the Holy Land Foundation trial in Dallas.
Okay, does John Conyers know this?
Well, apparently he does, because this group contacted Conyers. They had a meeting with him, and they said, we need your help. We want you to use the oversight power of the committee to pressure the Justice Department to delist this group as a unindicted co-conspirator, because it was hurting their membership. They couldn't fundraise. This is ridiculous that this group would go to that length. The big unanswered question is, what is Conyers going to do? I called his office numerous times. I emailed the Judiciary Committee spokeswoman, and she refused to answer. So I think it's now up to Conyers to explain why he's going to go to bat for a group that's a front for the Muslim Brotherhood terrorists.
What is the Muslim Brotherhood? What is that group?
Probably the largest international Sunni Muslim group. It's based in Egypt. They claim to not be supporting violence, but actually in reality they are supporting or sympathetic to a lot of the Sunni extremists around the world. Basically, I think they're a major front group, and they're working very hard to infiltrate the United States to organize every single Muslim group so that it's under its auspices.
Now, CAIR, who are they? Who runs that group?
Well, it's a group that wants to try to claim that it's in favor of promoting good relations with between American Muslims and other Americans, but clearly the group has some problems. I'm not that familiar with all of its activities. But I did get a hold of this letter that the group sent to Conyers, where they talked about they tried to compare their plight to McCarthyism or the civil rights movement, which is kind of obscene when you think about it.
No, of course it's obscene, mainly because McCarthy actually pointed out real communists, not fake ones. He was the one who was the victim of McCarthyism, if you actually studied it. And to claim that they're a civil rights group, when in fact they're connected to anything but a civil rights group, meaning the Muslim Brotherhood, and you say that they're part of a covert program to subvert American society, meaning the Muslim Brotherhood, surely John Conyers, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, would want to know that, wouldn't he, Bill?
Well, that's a good question. We have not heard from the chairman yet, and like I said, I tried very hard to get a response from him and got total silence. My sense is that this is part of a misguided effort on the part of Conyers and other congressional liberals to play the so-called diversity card and try to help these Islamic groups. The other group that's prominent is the Islamic Society of North America, which was listed on that Muslim Brotherhood document. And again, they're all trying to work. There's a lot of deception involved here. They're claiming that they're not supporting terrorists, but when you get down to their statements and their activities, I think that this is really the beginning of identifying a Al-Qaeda or a Sunni extremist support network in the United States.
Really? So I read that CAIR, on an anti-CAIR website, that the stated goal of the president or the leader, whoever he may be, is to see Sharia law in America. I've seen that in print in the early days. Do you know that Charles Schumer and Barbara Boxer in 2003 declared CAIR a dangerous group, and they disavowed a connection with that group? You're aware of that, I'm sure, Bill.
Yeah. And so the question is, why is Conyers going to bat for him? That's clearly, this is a very powerful person. He could write a letter. The group wants him to hold hearings and to write a letter to the new attorney general. you know, asking if they can help this this care.
Well, if Hillary Clinton wins, they have a real good friend there, I'm pretty sure. If the left wing wins, there's almost no stopping these pressure groups from seeing their desires met. Well, maybe Conyers was away for Thanksgiving, Bill. We'll have to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they'll get back to you next week.
We'll wait and see. You know, I mean, the FBI's got a lot of problems, and Justice as well. They've made common cause with a lot of these groups, like the Islamic Society of North America, in as part of their misguided outreach programs, thinking that somehow they're going to gain the support of these groups, when in fact there are a number of counterterrorism officials in government who are very worried about this, who say that what the government is doing by having outreach programs with groups like CAIR and ISNA is that they're lending legitimacy to these organizations that are sympathetic to terrorists.
Well, what recently happened in the FBI and the CIA is simply astonishing. You want to talk about that for a few minutes?
Yes.
There's an
yes.
article today, is the U.S. government infested with jihadist moles, from WorldNet Daily, that I put up on michaelsavage.com, but you know an awful lot about that. What happened there at the FBI and the CIA that an illegal alien woman from Lebanon could get into that those organizations? How did that happen?
This is a major security lapse, and there's a lot of red faces and embarrassment in the government for the case of Nada Prouty, a Lebanese-born a woman who became an FBI special agent and then became a CIA officer and had access to extraordinarily sensitive secrets. I mean, we're talking about access to information about informants that the U.S. government, U.S. intelligence community has close to terrorist groups around the world. And now you've got to wonder, her brother-in-law was a Hezbollah fundraiser. Hezbollah is intimately linked with Iran. And so you have a flow of U.S. secrets on terrorism going to Hezbollah and almost certainly going to Iran. It's going to be a huge and extremely damaging terrorist espionage case.
Well, the question is, one intelligence official is saying, quote, the FBI might as well put out a sign, double agents wanted. Do you agree it's that bad?
Well, you know, they've been struggling to do counterintelligence. They were dragged kicking and screaming to create what they call the National Security Branch, which is supposed to be a dedicated counterintelligence, counterterrorism group. But then the person they put in charge of it, a special agent named Willie Hulon, has no intelligence background. So what does that tell you? That tells you that the bureaucracy doesn't want to do this. The FBI...
Willie who?
Hulon is the name. H-U-L-O-N.
And what was it? What was his background before he was made this chief counterintelligence spy at the FBI?
He was a white-collar crime specialist at the FBI. He was not a counterintelligence or counterterrorism specialist.
So he was a lawyer. He was a lawyer, in other words.
Well, that tells you that the bureaucracy does not want to do this very difficult work of counterintelligence. They want to, FBI agents culturally want to put the cuffs on people and prosecute them. Where counterintelligence is much different. You have to develop agents, you have to recruit spies, you have to turn agents or terrorists into your own spies, and they're just having a very difficult time getting that right.
Well, listen to this article from WND. It says, desperate for Arabic translators after 9/11, the FBI hired even Arab taxi drivers in the Washington area, cutting corners on background investigations to get them on the job. I'm going to read further. It says, in fact, FBI Director Robert Mueller made direct appeals to militant Islamic groups in his haste to hire translators to clear huge backlogs of untranslated terror intercepts. Many of them are the same Muslim NGOs now listed by federal prosecutors as members of the dangerous Muslim Brotherhood. Now, he goes on and says, at the same time, Mueller snubbed hundreds of Arabic-speaking Sephardic Jews in New York who applied to help the Bureau. Why would he have done that?
Well, I think, I think there's going to be a lot of questions about the FBI director. I've heard a lot of criticism of his policies. You know, I was told that he was very good friends with Dianne Feinstein, and that when he was out in the U.S. attorney out in the San Francisco area, he's close friends with her. I think he's got some real political problems. I mean, I don't think he has a real understanding of the nature of the kind of threat we're facing from Islamist extremists.
Mm. Well, I know Barbara Boxer definitely approved Mr. Mueller. I thought he was doing a pretty good job because I see there's been no terrorist event in so many years. I would assume that the FBI is doing a good job, but this is clearly a mistake here to permit people you hire to be hired without any background check who then turn out to be double agents. That's a major scandal for an agency. If that happened at MI5, what would happen in England?
Well, it has happened, and usually the top people get fired. And
We know that'll never happen in America. Nobody gets fired in America. Nobody. Nobody gets fired. Instead, they go teach at the Kennedy School of Misgovernment. Bill Gertz, I know, and I don't want to go into it. You've had a very rough year, and I just want to say, God give you the strength to get through this Thanksgiving with your family.
And well, thank you, and keep fighting, Michael.
I have no choice, Bill. Thank you very much. The time is 45 minutes after the hour. Things that happen to people and families, you don't want to know about it. You just don't want to know about it, and yet people go on. But, you know, as Freud said, if you awaken one day and find out that you only have one arm and one leg, he means psychologically, then you crawl on one arm and one leg. In other words, you don't roll over and die. You get it? Let's say you wake up and say, oh, my God, I'm not a complete... Well, look what happened to me mentally. You crawl on one arm and one leg. That's what Freud said. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. A still small voice. That's where it comes from. 1 Kings 12. Many of you have heard the phrase, listen to the still small voice within, but it comes from the Bible. In fact, some of the greatest literature, so at least the titles of some of the greatest literature, come from the Bible. Many of you know that who are literary, know the literary references. The biblical references are awesome. But anyway, a still small voice, meaning listen to the little voice within you. After the fire, a still small voice, and it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said to him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you come, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Aram. Well, I don't want to go into the rest of it, which is too obscure for me, probably for you too. And again, I'm no holy roller. But the Book of Ages seems to stick around for a reason. It sort of beats novels written by hags on Pacific Heights, which I don't think will be read in 5,000 years. For some reason, the Book of Ages continues to be read, translated, read again, translated, modified, and read again. Not the potboiler novels, for example, of certain kinds that are interesting to read. They're not going to be here in 1,000 years. Why? Why is the Book of Ages still read? Well, because those who read it are ignoramuses. Why, they don't sleep with their dog. They don't go on to sex tube and show themselves having sex with a lamppost. They're ignoramuses, those who read the Bible. Ignoramuses and fools and throwbacks. Why, they don't go to a club and puke on themselves at 5 a.m. No. Just ignorant throwback rednecks read the book. That's all. That's who reads it. Just the ignorant redneck throwback. Smart people are out there puking in the alleyway behind the nightclub after ingesting too much marijuana and champagne. That's the smart people. That's the real smart ones. So what's coming? What is coming? How do I know? What do I know what's coming? I'll read you what Zechariah said. I'm going to give you a nice Thanksgiving image. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the peoples that have warred against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their sockets, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Now, if those are not the symptoms of a nuclear meltdown, I'd like to know what is. I mean, this whole Zechariah is about a nuclear war. All of it. It's about the countries that have warred against Israel and what happens to them. Do you think the Israelis are going to let old Matt drag them over the cliff and die? I hope not. I don't know. I really don't know anymore what happened to Israel. It's like, I went to Israel, but I came home because it was closed. Where's Israel? Show me where Israel is. Where is it? I went to Israel, but I got there too late and it was closed. The lights were off. So I went home. Where is it? I don't know where it is. I don't know where it is. They have gay parades in Jerusalem now. Where's Israel? Show me where Israel is. Where's Israel? Where is it? It's a state of mind, isn't it? Well, what state of mind is it? I don't know. They let a charlatan like Madonna go there and give them a lecture on the Kabbalah? Where's Israel? Tell me where it is. That's why I care only about America first, last, and always. That's my new statement. It'll be stolen tomorrow by one of the people in the media. America first, last, and always. You like that? America first, last, and always. That's it. That's it. That's all there is. The rest doesn't matter, because if we melt down to the Muslim extremists in this country, there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go. And I know there are millions of Muslims who don't want that to happen. I know that there are millions of Muslims who don't want that to happen. They want the very same white picket fence that you want. I know that as well. Unfortunately for them, if you look around the world, the prognosis is not too good. I do not think that the moderate folks are going to prevail. They have lawyers now, the extremists, who threaten lawsuits for Arab prejudice. And that's why they can't kick them out of the FBI and the CIA, even though they catch them doing dirty deals. They threaten to sue and they won't fire them. Go read the article. Read the article on michaelsavage.com, linked up from WorldNet Daily. Is the U.S. government infested with jihadist moles? And by the way, the gentleman who runs WorldNet Daily is a good friend of mine. He happens to be an Arab of Arabic extraction, in case you think this is anti-Arabic. It is not. This is a man who knows what danger we're in, more so than most Americans do, who are of Mayflower extraction. The closest to Mayflowerites know what's going on is, I don't know, how can you generalize? I don't know, I can generalize pretty good. I can generalize. Could you play Turn, Turn, Turn for me? Get me out of this hour already.
A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plan, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to have, a time.
Sing along. Follow the bouncing ball.
Turn, turn, turn,
turn.
There is a season. Turn, turn,
there is a season.
And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to build up. A time to break down. A time to dance. A time to mourn. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together.
Listen to this, you hippie scum.
To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn.
Listen, you hippie vermin, listen. You hippie vermin, listen.
And there's time to every purpose.
Listen, you hippie vermin, listen.
A time of love. A time of hate, a time of war, a time of peace, a time you may embrace, a time to refrain from.
Let's pause right there. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time for war and a time for peace, a time to weep and a time to laugh. This should be the battle cry of the United States of America. To everything there is a season. It is time to end multiculturalism. It is killing us.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage.
time to be.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. And I am turning the hippie songs of the 60s back upon their heads.
A time to build up, a time to break down, a time to dance, a time to mourn, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. To everything turned.
Listen, you hippie drug addicts, there's a time for everything, and your time is over.
And time to every purpose under heaven. A time of love, a time of hate, a time of war, a time of peace. A time you may embrace, a time to refrain
from embracing. I think you get the picture. A time of war, a time to peace, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to love and a time to hate. Yes, a time to love and a time to hate. For hate is in a man's heart, and the day you deny that is the day you die as a man. For all is vanity. Even your love is vanity. Even your hatred is vanity. Now let me stop right here because I'm going to get into a whole cycle here that most of you don't want to go into. I know you want to hear about Natalie Holloway and let's see, airline travel is crowded. Let's see, turkey recipes and well, have a good. Well, I don't know. Good luck to you. I don't know why it is. I'm somber tonight. I'm in a somber mood, man. I'm in a somber place. When I see the government infested with jihadist moles and nothing is done, when I see an extremist Muslim group like CAIR meeting secretly with the top Democrat to change their designation as an unindicted co-conspirator, when I see that the rat vermin in the San Francisco Board of Supervisors have voted to give illegal aliens ID cards and they do not go to prison, when I see that overriding the objections of the Israeli Defense Force chiefs and their Secret Service, the shill, Olmert, the shill of George Bush, has approved arming Palestinians in the West Bank with 50 Russian armored personnel carriers, 1,000 rifles, and 2 million bullets. When I see what's going on in my world, I am somber tonight. I realize that all is vanity. I realize that all of us are made of dust, and I realize we all turn to dust. I know all of that, and I know that there is virtually no reason for all of this struggle. I realize that as well. Nevertheless, we have no choice but to struggle. That's how it goes. That's what we're put here for. And I know that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the pleasure for his labor. I know that's a gift of God, and that is what tomorrow is all about. If you read Ecclesiastes, which is very somber, he writes, "There is nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink and make his soul enjoy pleasure for his labor. This also I saw that it is from the hand of God. For who will eat or who will enjoy if not I? For to the man," you see what I'm getting at? At the end of the day, if you don't know which way to turn, read that one if you really are perplexed. If you are really perplexed and you're really freaked out about it all and you realize the leadership is rotten through and through, when you see Murtha taking in after stabbing the Marines in the back, that blowhard freakazoid, Murtha, a former Marine stabbing our Marines in the back, and then all he did it for was money. Remember what he did it for so that Nancy Pelosi would give him a big position. She made him the chairman of the Defense Appropriations Committee, and that bloated freakazoid, Murtha, for the price of stabbing the Marines in the back, was made the chairman of the Defense Appropriations Committee, and now he is the biggest recipient of pork barrel spending in America and in American history. Why he makes Duke Cunningham look like a beggar? In my opinion, he makes Duke Cunningham look like a beggar. It's just that he's advised by better crooks. That's the difference between him and Cunningham. He's just advised by smarter crooks. So there is nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink and make his soul enjoy pleasure for his labor. That's helped me many a night. That has helped me many a night. I put down the book because I realized, too, that Ecclesiastes, it is written, for anger resteth in the bones, the bosom of fools. You see? Don't be hasty in your spirit to be angry, wrote the Bible. For anger rests in the bosom of fools. You get that? You get that? It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. I love that one. You hear that one? For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. Do you ever hear talk show hosts who laugh at their own jokes on a regular basis? That's the crackling of thorns under a pot. This also is vanity. Look, I'm not here to bash my fellows in the business. They all do the best they can as I do, and we're all imperfect. We have a war on our hands, and we're fighting it on a daily basis. Some of us know of it, some of us don't. The country is riddled with enemies. The enemy within has never been more bold or emboldened. And I'm afraid that no one is at the helm. They're all busy seeing where they can take out the next buck. Up next, Joel Mowbray to tell you more bad news. Right here. Right here. Right here. Right here. Here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. Now we're going to take a look at the strange case of Nada Nadim Prouty, the illegal alien who got past the security of both the FBI and the CIA. Well, illegal alien, of course, she was of Arabic descent, you know, there's a sacred element here. With me to discuss this is Joel Mowbray, who wrote about it for the Washington Times.
Michael, great to talk with you again. Thank you.
Joel, how did this happen? How did this massive security breach occur? Who is Nada Nadim Prouty? Where did she come from? What in the world did she do for the FBI? Why did they hire her? And why is nobody paying attention to this breach?
Well, for people who saw the news for about 30 minutes last week, they're familiar with the story of Nada Nadim Prouty, an illegal alien from Lebanon who came here on a student visa, which expired. Then she paid someone to marry her, never lived with the guy, never consummated the marriage. And then after she got her citizenship in 1994, she said, sayonara, she divorced him. Well, a few years after that, she applies for the FBI, she gets the job, and then she got to one of the most sensitive positions in the FBI and later the CIA, where she was sent to Iraq to suspects. So this woman got into the upper reaches of our government in our counterintelligence. By the way, this woman had top secret clearance. And while she was working for the government, here's what she did. She went and did illegal searches on herself, her sister, and her brother-in-law. Now you might ask, well, why would she care what the FBI has on herself, her sister, and her brother-in-law? Well, her sister and her brother-in-law appear to be big-time fundraisers for Hezbollah, the terrorist organization. How do we know this? Because her brother-in-law was photographed sitting next to Hezbollah's spiritual leader at a fundraiser at which he, the spiritual leader, and the brother-in-law, they were both the keynote speakers, and this is in August of 2002. And in addition to that, Nada Nadim Prouty also did an illegal search into the FBI, a password-protected, top-secret database to find out information on the Hezbollah investigation at the Detroit field office. This is major stuff. And yet, she is going to get 6 to 12 months in jail because the FBI and the CIA, the Department of Justice, they just want it to go away. But the sad thing is the media is all too happy to comply.
This is outrageous. First of all, how is it possible that such a huge lapse in security occurred in the first place? Where could this have been stopped and why wasn't it stopped?
You know, Michael, I think that really is the operative question. How could this have happened? And I talked to a number of my friends who are either current or former Intel guys, and they say, you know, you need a password to get these things. You can't just go onto a computer and while no one's looking, type something in. It doesn't work that way. It isn't Google, right? You actually have to be able to crack the system so that you as the user has access. So somehow she did much more than just typing in search keys, right? She actually had a determined effort on how she was going to break into the database to look up that information. So how did that happen? Well, it happened enough so that there was a record of it, because obviously we know now that it happened then. But the real question is, why didn't we know then that it happened?
Why is the media playing along with this cover-up? Is it because there's an Arab involved? Even the media outlets that have been readily critical of the Bush administration aren't covering it. Why is that?
Well, Michael, you and I both know that the largely left-wing mainstream media has no interest in helping the government out, except when it's in the interest of helping out someone who is Muslim. And I hate to say it like that. And, you know, the sad fact is, I think that the mainstream media really does not want to be seen as over-exaggerating the threat of Islamic terrorism, and that they feel that they are banging the war drums, so to speak, if they report too much on a case like this, or if they report too much on Al-Qaeda's activities in Iraq, or if they report too much on other cases here in the U.S. of, homegrown examples of Islamic terrorists. By the way, several of these examples you and I have talked about on the show. And, in addition to that, it could be something just of a partisan bias that they feel that they're promoting the Republican platform by reminding Americans that we are at war, that there are people out trying to kill us.
Will there be an investigation? Or are they trying to fix this problem internally? Are there ways that pressure can be brought from outside to make sure some sort of action does take place?
You know, obviously, Michael, a lot of people right now are asking the question, not only how does this happen, but what can we do to prevent it from happening again? And the problem with the FBI and the CIA is that these guys suffer from bureaucratic intransigence. They don't want to admit that they've been wrong, that they could still be wrong, or that something needs to be done to change the way they think and the way they operate. So in a case like that, if the FBI and the CIA haven't taken the necessary steps, which something tells me they haven't, then you need outside pressure. And the outside pressure has to come largely from the media. I mean, it can come somewhat from government, but ultimately, it really is about the power of public humiliation. And, obviously, you and I both got into the media business because we believe and understand that positive things can come from shining the disinfectant of sunlight onto problems. And so the media here could be fulfilling a very important role and going after the FBI, the CIA, embarrassing them for this, and getting them to figure out what really went wrong, how did it happen, and how can we prevent it from happening again.
Do you think that's actually going to happen in this case, or do you think something like this has to happen again before they take a serious look at themselves?
You know, Michael, I don't know for sure that Santa Claus isn't going to bring me some presents this Christmas, but it's probably not likely. So I don't know for sure that the media isn't going to be pressuring the FBI and the CIA on this, but I just don't think it's likely. And if it was, say, a Robert Hansen, or if it was a Jonathan Pollard, right, if it was a Jewish spy, then they would be going nuts, which, by the way, we should talk about that. I believe you and I have even talked about the case of Larry Franklin, the former Pentagon analyst, who got 12 and a half years for a plea bargain to a single count of mishandling classified information. If you remember, he was the guy who talked to the representatives from AIPAC, the American-Israel Political Action Committee, when he told them about a draft policy discussion about Iran. Literally, it looked like a Wall Street Journal op-ed about having tougher sanctions and a hardline diplomacy against Iran. That was it. No sources, no methods. And that was what he shared with two guys from AIPAC, the American-Israel Political Action Committee. And he got 12 and a half years. Now, if he's considered a spy for Israel, then the government goes after him. The media, by the way, a story every day for a week in the Washington Post and the New York Times. The Washington Post did at least 3 front page stories in that week. The New York Times, I think, did also 3 or 4 front page stories in that week. And those two newspapers, this time around, Michael, one story each. The Washington Post on page 3, but they buried the Hezbollah angle and just talked about her sham marriage. And the New York Times, page 21. It's an embarrassment, and it's disgusting.
You know, it's sad and embarrassing that we continue to find ourselves looking at these situations. Do you see any presidential candidates with the capacity to reorganize our Secret Services and put a stop to this political madness?
I think the people on the Democratic side, unfortunately, would only exacerbate this problem, would make it worse. You know, consider that not one of the candidates on the Democratic side for president, not one, uses the term Islamic terrorism. Okay, you have guys who call themselves Mujahideen, right? The Islamic terrorists, they call themselves Mujahideen, which is the Arabic for holy warriors, the warriors who are waging jihad, literally. And we are here saying, well, maybe it's not Islamic terrorism, it's just terrorism. Well, that's just silly, right? At least the Republican candidates say it. Now, I think most of them understand that it is radical Islam that animates Islamic terrorism, but I don't know. I don't know. You know, we'll have to wait until we see their actions in office.
All right. Thank you, Joel Mowbray.
Michael, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Anti-American saboteurs, traitors in our country even. A lot of them work in the media, everything from U.S. war plans, secret prisons, our own spies, to the demo crazies demanding a structured timetable of withdrawal so that our enemies can plan accordingly. It's outrageous. We have massive intelligence failure in this country. It's being propagated at the highest level of our government and Central Intelligence Agency. My guest, Kenneth Timmermans' latest book, Shadow Warriors, tells the untold story of traitors, saboteurs, and the party of surrender, and it provides us with a clearer picture of the deceit and sabotage being waged against the American people. He's on a line with us now. Ken.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
Ken, as you know, exposing the enemy within is one of my obsessions, but is it the same for you? How did you come to write this book? Was there a trigger moment leading you to begin your investigations?
You know, Shadow Warriors is something like my sixth or seventh book of investigative reporting, and I really came to this by looking at the leaks that were winding up on the front page of the New York Times and the Washington Post, and I wanted to see how highly classified intelligence information and operations could actually wind up in the newspapers. And was this something that was deliberate, or was this just very good reporters? And as I was interviewing former CIA officials and other sources in Congress and elsewhere, I discovered that, in fact, there was an extensive network of people inside the U.S. government that was working to leak classified information with the sole purpose of embarrassing President Bush and thwarting his efforts to win the war on terror.
You refer to these traitors as shadow warriors. Do we have any specific information as to who these people actually are?
Yes, I name some of their names in the book. You have people at the Central Intelligence Agency such as Tyler Drumheller. He was the head of European operations in the Directorate of Operations. In other words, the man who was supposed to be supervising all of the CIA's spies in Europe and all of the intelligence information that they gathered. And one of the stories in Shadow Warriors is how he got involved in peddling, really, what amounts to fraudulent documents, forged documents about uranium purchases by Saddam Hussein in the African country of Niger into the U.S. intelligence community and all the way up to the White House. And he did this apparently deliberately with an intent to deceive.
Before the war, you mentioned that some pre-war intelligence was cooked or false. Can you tell us how the CIA might have been involved?
Well, a lot of the pre-war intelligence was good, but there were elements that were false and some pieces of intelligence which were outright fabrications. And some of those fabrications were, in fact, peddled by CIA officers themselves. That's one of the things I found out in Shadow Warriors. It was stunning information. I didn't expect that to be true, but we know this for a number of reasons. Number one, Tyler Drumheller, one of these officials I'm talking about in the book, himself has acknowledged much of this information. Number two, Drumheller was taken to task quite rigorously by his former boss, CIA Director George Tenet, who essentially accused him of not telling the truth, the whole truth, and what he really knew about these cases. So there is a great deal of documentation behind this. There have also been investigations by the Senate Select Intelligence Committee. We know that there were false bits of evidence about WMD, but there's a lot of information that we knew before the war that did, in fact, turn out to be true. There were WMDs in Iraq.
You state that the State Department actually rallied against Bush after the reelection, and in fact, the State Department directed employees to deny the policies of the Bush administration.
Well, there's a story that I learned from sources of mine at the State Department, which really blew me away. The day after George W. Bush wins reelection in November 2004, Colin Powell, who is still the Secretary of State, held a town meeting of all the employees at the State Department. And he was looking down from his offices at a sea of Carrie Edwards stickers down in the parking lot, just to give you a flavor for the political leanings of most of the employees at the State Department. And Colin Powell said, look, George W. Bush has just won re-election with more popular votes than anyone in the history of the United States. This is not a contested election. We now owe it to the United States citizens, to the people of the United States, to support the policies of this administration and do the best that we possibly can to support the United States of America. Okay, that's the pep talk. Afterwards, an assistant secretary of state goes down to her office a few floors below, gathers her employees together in the office suite, about 20 of them, and she says, well, John Kerry won the second highest number of votes in the history of the United States. We do not owe allegiance to George W. Bush or to the failed policies of this administration. That was an open call to mutiny.
Wow, that's incredible. I want to go back for a moment to the intelligence sieves. We've seen it firsthand with the phony Valerie Plame and Guantanamo, but my question to you is, why does new information continue to leak, and how can we tell these leaks from counterintelligence and in disinformation itself?
Well, the shadow warriors are intent on embarrassing the Bush administration, on frustrating the Bush administration's policies in Iraq and elsewhere in the war on terror. So when you see information that winds up in the headlines of the New York Times about, for example, the National Security Agency and its terrorist surveillance program, you can be pretty sure that that's coming from the shadow warriors who are trying to stop that program. Earlier this week, we had the House of Representatives vote on yet another piece of legislation that this particular one would allow trial lawyers to sue telecommunications companies who have cooperated with the NSA and turned over some of their communication logs to the NSA so the NSA could look for possible terrorist communications. So there is an effort by Democrats in Congress, along with rogue officers within the intelligence community, to leak this information to the front pages of the paper. In other words, in order to shut it down. That's their ultimate goal, is to shut down these classified intelligence operations that would capture terrorists and would protect America.
It seems to be backwards to me, like when you talk about the CIA funding insurgent groups with millions of taxpayer dollars in hopes of bribing them to our side, when in fact they used that money to shoot at us. Common sense, right?
Yeah, one of the stories I was shocked really to discover, and I learned this from people who had been posted to Baghdad right after the liberation of Iraq, was how the CIA was in fact working together with some of the groups who very quickly started the insurgency against the U.S. presence in Iraq. And what I discovered was that the CIA officers on the ground were meeting with some of the Sunni sheikhs, some of the former Ba'athist officers who supported Saddam Hussein, and funneled millions of dollars to them, hoping that they could get them to join the effort against Saddam Hussein. And in fact, what happened is that they used that money and the weapons that they got from the CIA to join the effort against the United States.
Not to be defeatist, but this is an unsettling set of information here. Is there anything we can learn? Is there a lesson here?
Well, I think the lesson from Shadow Warriors is that the next president must absolutely get a grip on the federal bureaucracy. And I think the great failing of George W. Bush, historically, looking back at his administration, will be that he ignored the first lesson of good government that Ronald Reagan taught us all, which is that people are policy. And George W. Bush allowed the Democrats partisan Democrats, not just anybody, but partisan Democrats to stay in place in his administration. And in fact, in some cases, which I explain in Shadow Warriors, he actually put them in positions of power where they would be the ones to enact and enforce his policies, policies that they opposed. So it's, I think what's really surprising here is that George W. Bush has had any success whatsoever, given the opposition to him within the permanent government, within the bureaucracy, by these shadow warriors.
Is there any more news you'd like to share with us?
One of the things that baffled me in my research was the fact that the U.S. military had managed to seize over 1 million pages of documents from Saddam Hussein's government at various government offices around the country. These have been put into a database called the Project Harmony, and only a very tiny portion of them have actually been translated from Arabic into English. I got access to some of the documents from the Harmony Project, and you'll see some of those reproduced in the appendix of Shadow Warriors, and I'll describe others of them in the book. And what you learn from just this sample of the documents that were seized from Saddam Hussein is, number one, he was actively training Arab terrorists around the world, in Somalia, in Sudan, and in other countries, who in fact were affiliated with al-Qaeda, and this way before the liberation of Iraq in 2003. And number two, you find that his weapons of mass destruction programs, in particular the chemical weapons program and biological programs, were active and ongoing, and that he had the intention of relaunching a nuclear weapons program as soon as he got out from under the United Nations sanctions. And remember, Michael, that was one of the reasons that we went to war in the first place, because the UN sanctions effort against Saddam was falling apart. One of the stories I tell in great detail is the mutiny that went on at the Central Intelligence Agency when President Bush appointed a new director, Porter Goss, in September of 2004. And I don't think anything like this has ever happened in the history of the United States. You had the top leaders in the Directorate of Operations, Mike Sulick and Stephen Kappas, who openly rebelled and called on other officers to rebel against Porter Goss and his efforts to reform the agency and to improve our abilities to gather human intelligence. The real irony and the sad irony here, Michael, is that 18 months after those people, Sulick and Kappas, were forced out of the agency and Porter Goss tried to get a grip on that rebellion, they've now been called back, and it's Porter Goss who was kicked out, and Sulick and Kappas are now in charge of the very agency that they refused to reform.
This internal struggle that we see more often than not within the CIA today, it seems to be the fulcrum deciding either success or failure in Iraq. How do we calm this infighting?
Well, I can tell you that the CIA, as it is currently organized, with Kappas and Sulick brought back to run the agency, is not going to reform itself. I give credit to General Hayden, the new director. He is trying to expand our human intelligence capabilities, and he's trying to recruit a lot of new people. But Sulick and Kappas represent the old guard, the old boys network that got us into the trouble that we're in today, that led up to 9/11, that did not have the agents on the ground, the human resources on the ground, to get secrets from difficult places that we need. And I don't see that being revised. I think a new president has to come in and essentially clean house at the CIA and bring in a whole new generation of spies.
Well, let's just hope the cleaning lady isn't Hillary Clinton. Ken Timmerman, the book is Shadow Warriors. The book is dedicated to the next generation of spies. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Michael. It's been a pleasure.
Savage.
Is the Savage Nation. Yesterday I reported on wounded soldiers who the Pentagon want to return their sign-on bonuses. In other words, they signed on, they got a sign-on bonus, they lost an eye, now the Pentagon's saying, give us back the sign-on bonus. Whew! How's that for Thanksgiving? Play clip 17, listen to this one.
During the incident, I was knocked unconscious. When I regained consciousness, I had diminished vision in my right eye, and I had a lot of pain in my lower back. Had to get out of the vehicle and get out of the area, obviously. Once we got back and I got checked out, I stayed in Iraq for about 3 months and came home, was discharged. And about 5 weeks being home, I got a letter in the mail telling me that I owed the government money because I wasn't able to complete my term in the military.
Hmm. Amazing. So they want their money back. Well, what's losing vision? It's nothing. You know, it's nothing. The important thing is that they used them as cannon fodder, and now they want the money back from Mr. Cannon Fodder. Then there's Mr. Murtha, my favorite congressman, Jack Murtha, the former Marine, a hero in his own mind, who called our Haditha Marines 8 cold-blooded killers, which led to their court-martial. Yesterday, a reporter asked Murtha in clip 08 if he stands by his words. And listen to this. Listen to 08.
In November of 2006, you called them cold-blooded killers, and so far, 5 of 8 have been exonerated by court-martial courts. Do you stand by those words, and do you have anything to say to those Marines that were acquitted?
I'm not going to make any comment since the trial's still going on, and they just charged the lieutenant colonel with not doing the investigation, and so I'm not going to make
but
any other comment.
But 5 of 8 have been acquitted.
I'm not going to make any other comment.
So Murtha now is hoping that Chisani is found guilty and Burns, baby Burns. See, this is the kind of Marine we need. This is the kind of Marine we need is a Benedict Arnold like Jack Murtha. This is the kind of Marine we need is the Jack Murtha type who puts on the uniform of the enemy in order to make money. That's the kind that the Democrats like. That's why he got appointed to where he is. Did you hear that interchange? Play it again. Play clip 8 again.
In November 2006, you called them cold-blooded killers, and so far, 5 of 8 have been exonerated by court-martial courts. Do you stand by those words, and do you have anything to say to those Marines that were acquitted?
I'm not going to make any comment since the trial's still going on, and they just charged the lieutenant colonel with not doing the investigation, and so I'm not going to make another comment.
But 5 of 8 have been acquitted.
I'm not going to make any other comment about it.
Mm-hmm. See, the government is good. It takes care of its own. The main thing is that the piggy banks get filled. That's all that matters. That's all that matters is that the piggy banks get filled. And here we have a San Francisco moron, Tim Paulson from the San Francisco Labor Council, saluting the city's decision to approve a program that will provide ID cards to illegal aliens. Now, they should all be in prison. You understand anyone aiding and abetting violating federal law should go to prison? Listen to clip 11. You're not going to believe what you hear.
Let me just say this. I don't think there is any such thing as an illegal human being. I think this is a good day for San Francisco in which we're going to prove that we're going to be one country. We're not going to be two countries. We have the support of the Board of Supervisors. We have the support of the mayor. We have the support of labor, senior groups. Everybody
Drop
thinks
dead.
That this is
Turn
a
him
good-
off my show. You're an illegal human being. Tim Paulson of the San Francisco Labor Council is an illegal human being. Why do I say that? Because he's supporting illegal aliens who are here illegally. So what do you mean there's no such thing as an illegal human being? So you don't believe in borders, you don't believe in language, you don't believe in culture. In other words, you're an anti-American. The federal government should arrest him. They should arrest the Board of Supervisors. Orange jumpsuits, try them for sedition, treason, whatever the case may be, breaking federal immigration law, any way you want it. Any way you want it. Of course we're a country of immigrants. I'm the son of an immigrant, but they didn't come in here illegally. They didn't break into the country and then demand special status. You know that. You know the difference. Here are some of the headlines I did not get to today on the Savage Nation. Let us see. Bush says Clinton understands White House pressure. That's right. Astonishingly, George Bush glowed over the fact that Hillary Clinton would be the nominee. In fact, play that sound again. You're not going to believe it. Listen to it.
You have said you don't want to comment politically, but you did tell the book author that you thought Hillary Clinton would be the Democratic nominee.
I did. I got caught. I do. I think she's a very formidable candidate. And one of the interesting things that she brings is that she has been under pressure. She understands the Kleeglites. You know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
You are the Kleeglite.
Let's stop right here. It's enough to make you puke. I don't know how this man could be running the West, the most powerful nation on earth. You are the Kleeglite? You are the Kleeglite? You are the Kleeglite? He says to a stooge of the government media complex at ABC News. All right. New Orleans and the state to pay $3.4 million judgment for firing whites. The city and state of Louisiana will pay the bulk of a $3.5 million racial discrimination judgment against the New Orleans DA. Officials announced Tuesday. The judgment was awarded to 36 employees, 35 white and 1 Hispanic, who were all thrown out and replaced by black employees shortly after Eddie Jordan took over as city's first black district attorney. So, well, maybe justice, moves slowly, but it moves. Here's another article. It's the economy, stupid, all over again. Americans are more worried about their pocketbooks than the war in Iraq or Iran's nuclear program, according to the New Democratic Network. Yeah, right, sure. New Democratic Network? Who, you mean the young sluts that wear little wristbands to show you they're sex maniacs? That who you interviewed them coming out of a nightclub after vomiting on their high-heel shoes? Come on! U.S. wary about election terror. Election period bombings in Madrid and Glasgow have raised U.S. wariness of the possibility of a terror attack during the 08 presidential campaign. The White House's top anti-terror, oh, please. They keep telling us like, it's coming, it's not coming, we have it under control, we don't have it under control. Hindustan Times, Islam should not be blamed for terrorism, says a UN conference. Really? Really, every time a bomb goes off, I seem to hear it's in the name of radical Islam. But then again, I guess what I hear is not true. What I see is not true. And what I smell is not true. What's true is what the government wants me to believe, right? No, wrong. It's the Savage Nation. Have a great Thanksgiving. Real great Thanksgiving. Think of our troops. They're not having a great Thanksgiving.
Savage.